Well, hallelujah. Amen. What a joy to be with you today, to feel what I feel. Amen. You may be seated. God bless your hearts. It's just wonderful to come to Denison, Texas, and to be with friends and to be a part of this great church. I have known of you since before North Texas was formed and before I ever lived in North Texas. We were assisting in Pasadena when I first come to know of Denison, Texas. Amen. There are some folks here today that I want to just acknowledge, and there may be some that I am not thinking about at the moment, but I see Brother and Sister Eccles here. These are marvelous folks. They were part of our church when they first came out of California. And we love the Eccles and thank God for them. And I understand, amen. I understand Brother Eccles is having a few health challenges, so I'm going to agree with you for healing and miracles in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Then I saw Sister Deborah Armstrong here. I've always known her as Deborah Swindle. Her mom and dad, she grew up in our church, and she was already out of the house and gone when we came to Dallas, but knew her sweet mom and dad. They were charter members of our church, and what wonderful, wonderful people, dear friends. We love the Swindle family. Amen. And then my wonderful friends, Bill and Lisa Gronemeyer, we're so happy that they are, that I'm able to see them. Sorry that they're with us today. I'm with you them today. That's my old pastoring coming out. Amen. Bill and Lisa and Renee and I share a very, very important bond. That's grandchildren. Amen. Now, I couldn't probably get a strong amen from all of you, but I could get one from Bill and Lisa that we probably have the prettiest grandbabies there are. Amen. We just really, really are proud of our kids and thank God for them. Amen. So God bless you. There's others. I see a lot of faces. I don't necessarily know the name. When people would come to our church, I would tell them, I'd say, now I'm going to probably ask you your name at least four times. But once I get it, I got it. It takes me a little bit of time. Amen. Amen. I'm glad my wife is with me today. And that always is special for me. And then to be with Pastor Darren Gilbert and his wife and family. Wow. This is wonderful. Amen. And every time I see Sister Gilbert, every time I see her, I see a miracle. I remember the challenges of what she went through, and we were all praying and trying to stay up with her situation. And it just thrills my soul to hear her sing and worship. What a voice. What a great lady. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I am just very, very happy to be here. I'm thrilled at the goodness of the Lord. I appreciate the wonderful spirit and worship in this house. Amen. I understand you've been going through a bit of a tough time here. And I'm here to just try to strengthen and be a blessing and help in any way that I can. May the Lord bless you. I love this church. And you've been a strong, strong leader in our district, and I appreciate that so very, very much. Amen. Now I'm going to come over here to this keyboard, and I refuse to be intimidated by this outstanding music, but I could listen to it the rest of the day. Amen. I have a little bit of music in me, and so it makes me, I think I probably tend to listen to music a little different than some folks. I took piano when I was 6 years old. Took for 2.5 years and hated every day of it. I did not like the piano. And so I got interested in the bass guitar. And I got me some old Southern gospel albums. Now, you young folks don't know what albums are, but how many in this congregation know what an album is? Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I got me some big old vinyl albums, Southern gospel. And I got to listening to that bass guitar and those chord structures. And they were playing chords that I wasn't familiar with. I was familiar with basic three chords in a key. You know, you got C, F, and G. And every key has three basic chords. And that's basically what I knew. But I was hearing things that I didn't know. So I went back to the piano and began to try to search them out and find them. And I discovered there was a whole world about music that I had never gotten into. And I did what a lot of piano teachers don't like for you to do. I got to relying on my ear. And if I could hear it, I could mimic it. I could imitate it. I could do it. I didn't know what I was doing, but I could do it because I could hear it. And a teacher doesn't like for you to rely on your ear. They want you to be able to read and look and play what's set before you. So I went back to the piano and picked all that up. And I've enjoyed playing through the years. Went on to become a music director when I was born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee, and moved to Nashville in 1973, and went to work in a local church there as music director. That's where I met my wife, and that was the best. That was probably the best thing God had in mind when He moved me to Nashville. But I worked there for 2 years, and then went on the evangelistic field, and eventually ended up in Pasadena, Texas, and we've been in Texas now since 1977, and we pastored in Dallas since 1980, and about 4.5 years ago, we retired from pastoring. Sister Deborah, that was 40 years we stayed at Emmanuel, and God was good to us, and the church is doing wonderful today, and we're very thankful for that. So let me come over here, and I'm going to use this mic right here. This one? Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Why don't you stand with me? And I want to read from the word of the Lord today. Praise God. I don't know all that is on your heart today. I do know that there have some things that have become a focal point and they're a great concern. But God's going to help you with that. You got to turn that over to Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm talking about each one of us personally. We got to take this to the Lord. Amen. So I've come to you today with the word of the Lord, and I want it to strengthen you and bless you and help you. Amen. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse number 2. This is part of a story that I'm sure you are familiar with. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Amen. I want to preach to you for just a little while on when in doubt. When in doubt. I read a scripture where the Bible says that there were some that were worshiping, and the scripture said, and some doubted. And some doubted. Have you ever been in a place where you just sort of pause and just wonder? Let me try to figure this all out here. It's a hesitancy. It's not a giving up, but it's just a pause. I think if you've got hot air in your lungs and warm blood in your veins, you have done that at some point or another. Maybe in your walk with God, certainly in general things about life. You might be making a large purchase, a new home or something, and somewhere along the process, and they keep wanting more and more documents and more proof of this and that. And you think, wait just a minute. I don't know if we want to go through all, you know, you just maybe struggle a little bit with the moment. Well, I want to just give you hopefully some help today. Amen. Would you just pray one more time that the Lord would help us here today in Jesus' name? Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the gospel. I thank you for what you have done in my life. I thank you, Lord, for filling me with your spirit. God, I am not worthy of all the goodness of the Lord on me. But I praise you, O God, that I am counted among the number. And God, I intend to make heaven home. In the name of the Lord, bless the word to every heart here today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. Amen. Amen. John the Baptist. Quite an arrogant, cocky little fella. A know-it-all. John's a type of guy. Everybody needs to have at least one John the Baptist in their life. You don't want too many of them because they tend to dominate the field. But a good John the Baptist can be a good check for you. John used to be so confident. John used to be so sure of what he was doing. I mean, there was nothing could stop him. But at the writing of my text, suddenly this great preacher, John, is now not so sure. Whoa. Many people would say, and I tend to agree, that John was probably at his lowest point in his ministry. Yeah. At one time, depending on your viewpoint, he was perhaps the most famous or the most infamous person in all of Israel. Everybody had heard of this guy that came out of nowhere wearing camel hair and eating wild locusts and honey. I mean, he was not in step with the times. He wasn't cool. And so this great standout from the status quo, his preaching had swayed the multitudes. But now, things are different. Most of his disciples have left him and are now following Jesus. His popularity has dwindled. John himself had said, and it's recorded in John 3 and 30, he must increase and I must decrease. But decrease to this level? Go back this far? Prison? Jail? He had no idea that he would hit bottom in a dark dungeon that never was on his radar. It's enough to make you start wondering about everything. Maybe even doubt. Doubts about his calling. Doubts about the faithfulness of God. Even doubts about the man he had been bragging about, Jesus. Because from the looks of things, this wasn't playing out the way he had preached that it would. So John began to ask himself, is he really the Messiah? Or did I make just one gigantic blunder when I told everyone that he's the one we've been waiting for? This is the guy. This is the man. He decided to send a word to Jesus. You know the story. He got his disciples. He said, you go find Jesus, because we got to get some answers to some questions that we've got. I've got to figure out some things. So what I've done today for your hearing is I have written a letter to Jesus as if I were John. Because that's what he did. So here it goes. By the way, did anybody ever know John's middle name? The. John the Baptist. That's not in my notes, but I just thought I'd give you a quick quiz on that. All right. Dear Jesus. Now, he's writing this in prison. He's going to send it to Jesus. I am writing to inform you that I have been thrown into prison by Herod. I've had a lot of time to think since I've been here. I've been thinking about all those things that I had preached about you, even before you began your ministry. Remember how I told everyone that your winnowing fork was in your hand, and you would thoroughly clean your threshing floor. And remember how I said you would burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire? And remember how I said, to me, that meant that you would put an end to all injustice. I was counting on you to correct all wrongs. To be quite honest with you, Jesus, I never thought I'd have to write a note like this. Things haven't worked out like I thought they would. I was sure you would have straightened things up around here by now. Rumors have it that Herodias wants my head. If you are wondering when to get out your winnowing fork to start cleaning up, now would be a really good time. That is, if you really are the one that we are expecting. Respectfully yours, John the Baptist. P.S. If we are to look for someone else, please let us know. Sent that to Jesus. And would you believe he got an answer? A few days later, the mailman delivered a letter to John's jail cell. And he eagerly opened it, hoping to receive news that Jesus was arranging for his quick release at that very moment. Instead, John reads this reply. Dear John the Baptist, the blind receive sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Agape, Jesus. P.S. Blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me. You know what? We expect doubters to become believers. But we don't really expect believers to become doubters. That's a little bit hard to swallow. Especially when you're talking about somebody like John the Baptist. We might expect Thomas to doubt. That guy was one big question mark, Thomas. You're a doubting Thomas. Thomas kind of got the label for his doubting. He's known as a doubter. I'd like to be known for something in my life when it's all over, but I don't want to be known for that. I'd like to be known as a man of faith or he was a great Christian. But, you know, I don't even, you know, when it's all said and done, I don't know what people will think of me after I'm gone. But Thomas was known as a doubter. But John the Baptist, he wasn't thought of as a doubter. No, this man was an exclamation point. This guy was dynamic. His whole ministry was filled with courage and confidence, being the first one to boldly proclaim that Jesus was the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. He was the one that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. John was bold. John was a man of courage. You remember when John the Baptist, in his preaching, he called the Pharisees and the Sadducees a brood of vipers? Well, you're talking about bold. He'd just walk into their midst and start preaching to them. Amen. I'm telling you what, he didn't make many friends that day. Every Pharisee and Sadducee in town hated him. They were mad at him. Amen. And he didn't so much as even blink in the response to them. John didn't have a smidgen of doubt that he was right in what he was saying about them. And you should have seen him when he told Herod that it was unlawful for him to have his brother's wife. Can you imagine that? Walking right in and calling it out. Amen. He had that old king sweating bullets. Amen. Not an inkling of doubt when that occurred. John, bold. If you take a look at the resume of John's life, it reads like a who's who of non-doubters. I just happened to make out a resume for John. I'm going to share it with you. This is resume of John the Baptist. Name, John the Baptist. Named by the angel Gabriel, who appeared to my dad in the temple and told him what to name me. This is John writing this resume. Birth, miraculous. My mother was far too old to have children, but God made sure she got pregnant with me. Prophet qualifications. Filled with the Holy Spirit in my mama's stomach. Now that's pretty impressive. Forerunner before the Messiah in the spirit and power of Elijah. Fulfilled prophecies in the Old Testament. And I've got scriptures for that. Isaiah 40 verse 3. Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Ministry experience. Oh, this is good. You always want to know what kind of experience do you bring. I baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. I saw the heavens open and the Spirit descending upon Jesus like a dove. I heard a voice from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I preached to the multitude, started with no disciples, but grew my congregation to thousands. Started with nothing and ended up with a great number. And then maybe as just an added comment, I own one camel's hair garment, and I eat locusts and wild honey. That's John's resume. How could this bulldozer, this defiant man who cleared the road for the Messiah, now be wavering in his belief? And yet that's what we read in Matthew 11. Because you see, many people wrongly assume that all the great men of faith in the Bible never had any doubts. But we find out that's not the case. I'm going to tell you, wherever you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ, there are going to be things that happen to you that are going to cause you to pause. This is someone that's been talking in tongues for 62 years. And I'm going to tell you, there have been times. There were times pastoring, I had a marvelous church, pastored for 40 years. There were times when I as the pastor, I paused. I never forget when we got through building the building that they're in today. I'd borrowed money. I was so deep in debt. Sister Deborah, for the only time in my life pastoring that church, when I went and closed on that loan, it was a $4 million loan. Yes, what you just did, I did that times 10. When they told me the payments, it was the only time as pastor, but I thought, dear God, what have I done to this church? Because my payments were over $1,000 a day. $33,000 a month. And I thought, oh my God, Lord, I thought I heard you. I was convinced, but oh God, Lord, are we gonna make this? And I'm gonna tell you that God put an assurance in me and a confidence in me when I went to the church and we began that journey together. I'm going to tell you that in 2004, when we closed on that loan, never one month were we late. And I'm going to tell you, we paid a chunk of money in those years, $33,000 a month, and about $4,000 to $5,000 was principal, and the rest of it was interest every month. It was horrible. But let me just give you a great victory report. Pastor just told us here the other day, I believe it was last Wednesday night, he announced to the church, he said, you know, we borrowed $4 million in 2004. He said, but as of right now, we owe just a little over $500,000 on that $4 million note. Amen. So I'm telling you that if you will persevere, if you will stay the course, God is a faithful God. I'm telling you. Amen. Amen. There's a powerful word, an aggravating word sometimes for me, and that is the word but. Amen. I can get strong in my faith, and then all of a sudden, but this, that, but. Amen. I've had to pray that out of my heart many, many times and move forward. I don't know how many times I've fallen on my face and I have cried out to God about where I am and what I'm going through and the unfairness of life and the circumstances around me. Amen. And the enemy's coming in on me like it's like a flood. It's about to overwhelm me. Amen. When the Spirit of the Lord comes in and will anoint, if you'll just stay in His presence, if you'll just persevere, if you'll just seek after God, I'm telling you today, amen, God knows where you are. God knows every one of you personally, and God will not forsake you. Amen. Amen. Talking about David. We all preach about David. Love to preach about David. I can't tell you how many messages through the years I preached using David as a focal point. A man after God's heart. Amen. But do you know that David was plagued with doubt? Yeah, Psalms 13:1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Amen. David, this great man, now he's crying out, Lord, do you even know where I'm at? Yeah. Amen. I feel all alone. Amen. The great prophet Elijah. Oh my goodness, great preaching about Elijah. Do you know that he faltered in his faith? Amen. After he defeated 850 false prophets of Baal and Asherah on Mount Carmel, King Ahab's wife Jezebel threatened to kill him, and Elijah ran like a scared rabbit because he thought God wouldn't protect him. Yeah. We forget those things. God told Jonah, the prophet Jonah, to go preach to the cruel, mean, sinful people of Nineveh. You know the problem that Jonah had? Nineveh had a tough, bad, mean reputation. They were known to poke out the eyes of their enemies. And Jonah kind of liked seeing. He didn't want to go face those people. So he ran away in the opposite direction and hid on a ship going to Tarshish. Look at the prophet Jeremiah. When people rejected his message, he wondered why God would allow such a thing. He thought that the Lord had purposely deceived him. Yeah, Jeremiah 20:7. Oh Lord, thou hast deceived me. Yeah. And of course, I've already mentioned Thomas. Thomas doubted that Jesus had even rose from the dead. Doubted that it even happened. You know, the problem sometimes with laying all that on Thomas is we sometimes forget that all the disciples refused to believe that he had risen from the dead.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So what exactly is a doubt? What is a doubt? Well, doubt is not unbelief. It's not unbelief. But it's not faith either. No. It wavers between faith and unbelief. Doubt is unable to make up its mind which it wants to believe. Faith or unbelief? I'm vacillating here. I got the Holy Ghost when I was 9 years old. This is all I've ever known. I have loved the church. I had precious parents. My mother was a great lady. Buried her about 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago now. She was a precious lady. My dad died numbers of years ago with cancer at the age of 48. But my mother won my dad to the Lord. They married when she was 15, he was 18. And when she started having her children, she went back to church because she wanted us raised in church, took us to church. So I remember it all my life. Saw my dad pray through, won him to the Lord. And I grew up in a marvelous church. Marvelous church. Great music program. We had a 35-piece orchestra in our church. At 6 years old, not only was I taking piano, but I began to play the trumpet. And I played the trumpet all those years in the church orchestra. And we had a great choir. We had great music and great youth program. It was just a marvelous church. When I was 16 years old, young teenager, in high school, I felt invincible. The world was before me. All of that. There was a tragedy that took place in our church. And it shook me as a 16-year-old kid to my foundation. I had the Holy Ghost, had been talking in tongues for 7 years at that point. But on a Thursday night, we got through eating supper as a family. I told my mom, I'm 16 years old. I said, Mom, I think I'm going to go down to the church. So my mother was the ladies' leader, auxiliary leader of the church. She had a key to the church. So I got her key, got in my car, drove down to the church. Nobody there. Everything's quiet. Unlock the front door, I go in, I lock it back. I don't want nobody coming in on me. Lock it back. I went in and there were some lights along the wall like you've got here. And I just turned those lights on, didn't turn the ceiling lights on, just so I could see where I was going. And I spent about 4 hours on that Thursday night at the church by myself. I prayed a little bit. I went to the piano and played a little bit. I went and sat down at my seat in the orchestra and I blew my trumpet a little bit. Then I went and I sat down in seats. You know, in Pentecost, we're nesters. Yeah. I promise you, you're sitting right now where you probably always sit. If you really want to confuse this pastor, just move to the other side next week. It'll take him 4 services to find you. Because you have a seat assignment. That's your seat. What I used to tell our folks, don't get so attached to your seat, because when God brings revival to us, you may have to give your seat up for somebody new. Now, you're clapping, Sister Deborah. You know Emmanuel Church. They didn't clap too quick about that. They didn't know if they wanted to get, they love, want revival, but I don't want to get my seat up, you know. But we actually saw that happen. We just outgrew everything. But I went down there, and because I loved everybody in that church, I'm 16 years, this was my world. And something had attacked us. And I was decimated. I was struggling. Here, my world, my environment, my place of safety and perfection, suddenly it felt vulnerable. Amen. And so I went and sat down where people that I love and respect sit, and I'd look at that pulpit. And I wasn't preaching back then, but I even got up and went to the pulpit, and I stood there as if I was the preacher, and I looked where brother and sister so-and-so sat, brother this. And I thought, oh God, you know, I don't want anybody to be lost. Before I was ever a preacher, I'd pray, God, don't let anybody be lost. Hell is an awful place. I don't want anybody to go to hell. Lord, don't let us be lost. I played the organ for a little while. I just mulled around in my own world, and just me and Jesus. Finally, I went down to the altar. We had altar benches. And I dropped to my knees. I had some Kleenex there. I'd wipe my nose and my eyes, and I'd weep and I'd cry, and I felt sorry for myself. And I had all kinds of emotions. I had frustrations, anger. I thought, how, why? This is just not making any sense. And I prayed, and I was there by myself for about 4 hours, 16 years old, wondering if this had all been a sham, wondering if have I been deceived? Have I been involved in something that really has no foundation in it? Has it all been a facade? But I got on my knees and I prayed. I wept and I cried. I felt sorry for myself. I had pity on myself. I felt like somehow I had been done wrong and bad. I went through all those struggles, but I stayed there. And I stayed there. And finally, I got my prayers turned away from me and all about me. And I got focused on Him. And I began to talk to Him and tell Him how important He was to me. And God, if I don't have You, I'm not going to make it. It doesn't really matter about anything else but You. This is all about You. God, I've got to get a good hold on You. I can't let anything separate me from the love of God. That's the only thing that really matters. Amen. And God, I need You to help me. And I'm just here to tell you today that at 16 years old, that night by myself in the church, I touched Him fresh and new and powerful. And when I touched Him, I felt His anointing, I felt His glory, I felt his love, I felt His compassion. I knew that He cared. He didn't care for just me. He cared for everybody in that church. He loved everybody. Amen. He made His salvation available to everybody. Amen. And I got up from there. And I walked out of there at 16 years old different than how I came in. I walked out of there with an anointing on my life. I had the Holy Ghost. But I settled some things that night. I put some things to rest that night. Amen. I wasn't doing all of this for mom and dad. I wasn't doing all of this just because it was what we do as a family. Amen. It became personal with me that night. It became the reason that I would live my life. Whatever I do, I did not know the path that God would have for me to go, but I left there that night committed to whatever I do, whatever course, whatever career, whatever you have for me, God, one thing I am committed to, and that's I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live for you. Nothing's going to separate me from you. Amen. Because I know you. I know you. Amen. Amen. So a person doubts. Amen. When they can't see clearly and they can't get a good grip on where they're at. A person who doubts is tossed up and down emotionally. They're thrown back and forth doctrinally. They're torn between yes and no mentally. They can't figure it out. Full of doubt. Amen. Let me tell you, amen. In any and everything else that you may do, in whatever circumstances you're trying to deal with, amen, you need to find you a prayer altar somewhere. You need to find you a place to steal away and pray. I'm not talking about a 5-minute prayer. I'm not talking about a 15. I'm talking about staying until you touch Him, until you feel Him. Amen. And I promise you, if you stay in that prayer closet long enough, He will come to you. He will visit with you. He will touch you. Amen. He will anoint you. Amen. Praise God. You see, we start doubting when what we expect to happen isn't happening, or what shouldn't be happening is happening. Circumstances appear to be in conflict about what we should believe, which throws us into confusion. And as a result, we waver between the two, wondering which is right. Which is right. It's a terrible place to be. It's a bad place to live. Amen. So here are a couple of ways to grow your faith and shrink your doubts. Number one, question your doubts. Don't question your faith. You get that? Question your doubts. Don't question your faith. Number two, concentrate on what you know, not on what you don't know. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with me in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. You're reading the book of Deuteronomy. They're writing about Canaan land. We sing about Canaan land. We talk about the promised land. Do you know how God described Canaan land? Do you know how He describe that promised land? He said that it is a land of hills and valleys, ups and downs, good times, bad times. If you stop there, that's not the most encouraging thing. But then he says this, but the eyes of the Lord are upon it all. The thing that I'm not going to do is leave Canaan land, because the Lord's eyes are upon the place of His promise. And I want to abide there. in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Would you let me pray for you right now? You're a great church. I realized this years ago. The church that I pastor, I used to tell them, we will be whatever we decide to be. I used to visit, go to great conferences, and they're always impressive. I used to think about James Kilgore in Houston, that great church in Houston. I used to think about Brother Haney in Stockton, California, and oh, what a church. And Alexandria, Louisiana, the Pentecostals of Alexandria. If you've ever gone there, it's just an experience. It's a great thing. And then I used to come back to Emmanuel. Sister Deborah, we were still downtown. And we had about 100 people. I used to think, oh, if only I could have that. If only. One day I was in prayer. Seemed like most every revelation I get it in prayer. Isn't that a unique thing? About anything that's worth holding on to, I get it in prayer. One day I was actually praying that way. God, can you trust me with something like that? God, why can't we have something like that? God. And I was looking at those great church operations, and I was thinking, you know, what an experience that would be. And as I prayed, the Holy Ghost began to deal with me and said, son, these are the people I have given you. And whatever you accomplish, you're going to do it with these people. You're not going to do it with that great operation somewhere else. That's not yours. Go there, get blessed, enjoy, whatever. But don't minimize, don't trivialize where you're at. Don't think that I don't know where you are. Man, I'm telling you, amen. You need to understand. You say, yeah, but this or that. Let me tell you something. Learn how to commit some things to prayer. Learn how to make. Brother Tenney said the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Amen. Stay focused. Amen. Don't allow the enemy to divert. Don't allow him to separate. That's not the way this, that's not healthy. That's not good. That's not going to solve anything. In Jesus' name, I'm telling you today, amen, do not give in to doubt. Hallelujah. Oh my, John, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? The reply didn't say, I'm going to have you out on bail by Tuesday. I'm going to get you out of that prison. Don't worry, John. No. You know the rest of the story. John did become beheaded. John did give his life. Amen. But you know what Jesus said? There's not been a greater than John. There never was a greater than John. Amen. Because John was faithful to the end. Ha, hallelujah. Amen. The name of the Lord. Bow your heads. I want to pray for you. Lord, right now, over this church family, this body of believers, God, I pray a spirit of anointing to come over each one. Lord, when they seek your face in earnest, Lord, you have promised that you would respond and that you would hear. God, I'm asking that to become the reality for this church, for every member, in the name of the Lord. God, I want this heal, this property to become the catalyst for revival in this part of the country. God, I want you to do greater things than have ever been done. In the name of the Lord, God, I'm praying, oh God, that you will help, that you will come to us in our time of need. God, you are a fixer of problems. There is nothing too hard for you. So, oh God, yes, I'm guilty, Lord, of doubting at times because I can't figure some things out. I don't understand the reasoning behind some things. So I doubt. But God, I'm not going to lose my faith. God, I'm not going to focus on that would drive me away from you. I'm going to hold fast to the word and the promises of the Almighty. In Jesus' name, I pray anointing. I pray blessing. God, I'm asking you to strengthen in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. God, I pray it in Jesus' name. Everybody shout amen. Amen. Shout amen again. Amen. One more time. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want Pastor to come in the name of the Lord. Amen. And while he comes, if you would and you would feel like it, if the musicians would come, amen, I would like for every one of you to get out of your seat where you're at. Make your way down here to the front. Amen. Amen. As a mighty body of one mind, one spirit, one heart, God, we're going to stand before you. Hallelujah. Lord, we're asking for your favor. We're asking for your blessing. We're asking for you to keep us, oh God, in Jesus' name. Yes, yes, yes. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Right now, in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Can we just all pray right now? In the name of Jesus. Amen. Can we just lift our hands, lift our hearts, lift our voice? In the name of the Lord, I pray. God, you are the King. Hallelujah. And there is nothing too hard for you. Nothing too hard for you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. God, I pray. God, I pray. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God.
Jesus, come on, lift your voice to him right now. Lift your voice to him right now. Lift your voice to him right now. That's it. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. When in doubt, hallelujah, when in doubt, focus your attention on Jesus. Are not two sparrows sold for a feathering? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your heads are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are more value. You have more value than many sparrows. When you're in doubt, understand that his eye is on you. Would you lift your voice to him right now? You're more valuable than many sparrows. Lord, we lift our hands to you. Lord, I come against doubt right now. I come against discord right now. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Lord, let there be unity in the house right now. Lord, I'm asking right now that your power would move into this place. Your spirit would move into this place. Glory be revealed. Power be demonstrated. Cast out the doubt in our minds. Cast out the doubt in our spirits. Cast out the doubt in our hearts in the name of Jesus. When in doubt, Lord, let our hearts be. I've got to go to you in prayer. I've got to go to you and seek your face, and you will direct my path. Oh, Lord, my mouth. Lord, my mouth can't do the talking, but Lord, my spirit has to be in communion with you in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your glory be revealed. Let your glory be revealed right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I rebuke the devourer. I rebuke the devourer of spirits in this place right now. Let joy come in. Let peace come in. Let revival. revival come in right now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, cast it out. Lord, rebuke it and cast it as far as the east is from the west. Let joy come in. Would you lift your voice and your hands and your voice to Him right now? Lift your voice and your hands to Jesus Christ as they begin to sing. Let's worship together. Let's commune with God together. Let's be in unity together in the name of Jesus.